Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody. I am Dave Holly, and thank you for listening to my podcast. Certainly do appreciate it, all the likes and the shares and so forth on Facebook, etc. It means a great deal to me, and I'm so thankful that on a week-by-week basis, typically, there have been a few hit and miss because of holidays and life and so forth, but for the most part, on a weekly basis, on Thursday morning, this show comes out to talk about Sioux Empire arts and entertainment. Some great conversations for you today. We have, from Old Town Dinner Theater, John Bowe, the artistic director, and the artistic director from Mighty Corson Arts Players, Brian Shipper. So today could be titled the episode known as Small Theaters, Big Hearts, Big Talent. Great stuff that you'll hear about these two places and what they provide for the surrounding Sioux Falls area that we like to call the Sioux Empire. That's why they're included. We have other places to go yet, too. But this is also episode number 62, which, you know, 62 used to be retirement age for some people. I don't think it will be for me, and episode 62 is definitely not something we're going to retire on, because we are coming back again in another Thursday with more arts and entertainment conversations. All right. For those that are listening for the first time, at least you got caught up on what the show's about there, right? Well, there are a couple of things we do. We like to call Thursday Weekend Eve. So lift up your drink and toast to Thursday being Weekend Eve. As for me, I have what we call Jasper Newton, Jack Daniels, Diet Coke with a lime. That's how I celebrate putting this show together, and it is a celebration for me. I truly do enjoy this. It is such a great part of my life. I also happen to be involved in a few more podcasts, one of which is called Midtown Coffee Radio Hour. Look for that on Spotify. There is one episode. It's going to be a monthly thing, hopefully. There's an episode that came out at Christmas time. We're going to bring you a January episode this Sunday evening. So look for that on Spotify. All right, so we've toasted. Told you what else is going on. Oh, by the way, Ruggedly Handsome, a trivia host, will be in tea at the Sky Lounge this Friday for a rousing 80s trivia. Always loved doing the 80s and so forth, primarily because I was alive back then. I can even do 60s trivia, kids. The other thing that we like to do is, of course, pass along some special commendation that we like to call
honorable mention.
All right, so I've had family members before that I've given this award to. You all know that, but I also give it to a variety. Well, you know, one of the family members had one time that, well, you know, it's a cool little bit, but Harper and Jack are on that all the time. That would be her two children. And that would be my wife's eldest daughter, Jamie, or as we like to call her, Miss James. She gets this week's honorable mention. Last week, Miss Carey's finally got to go up to Elkton. Well, I think they met. Yeah, they did. She actually did go to the farm and drop off the Christmas presents that we had for the kids and so forth. And by the way, Harper Lee, yeah, her daughter, who will someday be my co-host, fell in love with the karaoke machine that we gave her. But what we fell in love with was what Jamie gave to us for a Christmas present. A nice calendar. No, not just nice. The most beautiful calendar ever. 12 months of pictures of our grandkids, Harper and Jack.
And it's a good quality one, too, and good sized. And a lot of them are, you know, collages. So it's not just 12 pictures. It's a whole bunch. And oh, my goodness. Woo, did the old heart go pitter, patter, pitter, patter. Oh, love it. Thank you, Miss James. You are this week's winner of the coveted honorable mention. When we come back, we'll get into those great conversations of Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. Later on in the show, John Bowe from Old Town Dinner Theater in Worthing. But up next, from the Corson Mighty Arts Players, Brian Shipper. On the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
The Dave Holly Hour. Like eavesdropping on a great conversation between two very interesting people.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour, everybody. It's a fantastic time because it's Thursday. You know what that means? It's weekend eve. It's the time, as we head into the weekend, when a lot of things get rocking and rolling when it comes to arts and entertainment in our vicinity. Branching out a little bit today, we've headed a little to the east and just a skosh to the north off of I-90. Corson Mighty Arts Players. I've always loved the name. Its artistic director, Brian Shipper, is with us. How are you, Brian?
I'm very great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And I was so nice to see that on Instagram that the Mighty Corson Arts Players popped up, and you have a production that you're doing called The Taming.
Absolutely.
So let's start here. Let's start with the current production, then we'll kind of revert back and talk about the Mighty Corson Arts Players in general and the history of this place and so forth. So tell us about this particular production first.
Sure. This particular production, written by Lauren Gunderson, is a political comedy satire, as if we don't have enough of that going
currently.
On right now anyway. But it's an equal mix of Taming of the Shrew and Complete History of America Abridged and Drop Dead Gorgeous, all sort of mashed together as a Georgia beauty queen kidnaps two people on political opposites on the spectrum, forces them in a room, gasses them with the ether, and makes them write a more perfect constitution, all for her Miss America pageant.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's ironic that you mentioned it was Georgia.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That was.
And is that actually written in the script?
It is. It okay. is absolutely written in the script. The playwright hails from Georgia, so okay. A lot of her stuff is focused there.
Because it certainly sounds like that could have been one of those. It's like, hey, you know what? Let's change this to Georgia for this year, for this particular production.
Certainly.
So when did you start with your auditions and so forth and rehearsals, and take us through that whole process?
Oh, sure.
To get to the point where we are now, getting ready to put on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. This show is actually a long time coming. It was originally slated to be our fall production, opening our season. So we had auditions for this way back in August, and we rehearsed for five, almost 6 weeks, got right up to off book day, and COVID swept through our cast.
Ooh.
And me and my stage
and
manager
else,
and everybody else. So we had to put the brakes on it and confer with everybody's schedules and see when we could do it, because the actors have worked so hard to get this show in that previous 6 weeks that we owe it to them to be able to mount it and get people to see all of their hard work. And so it's coming up. It's opening this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the following weekend.
Showtimes?
Showtimes 7:30 on Friday and Saturday, and 2:30 matinee on Sunday.
Excellent.
And carrying over as well.
Yeah. What about the prices and so forth?
Ticket prices are $15.
Mm-hmm.
We do have in-house socially distanced seating, and then we also have a web streaming option available as well.
Okay, you kind of beat me to the punch on that. I was going to ask about that, especially since the cast went through it then too.
Yep,
you know?
Yep.
So that's good to hear. Also, the fact that how many are actually in the cast?
Three.
So kind of easy to keep them socially distanced. And so forth. But I'm sure there was still a challenge with some of the blocking in the play too, wasn't there?
It was. And it's something that we tried to handle as best we could as while also keeping up the integrity of the show. It's mm-hmm. a weird balance, especially for the arts in general. I mean, our business is getting 100 people into a room for 2 hours at a time, which isn't exactly the correct course of action anymore. So everything has this year been a complete reworking, but it's been, I don't want to say it's been a fun challenge, but it's been an extra thing to think about, which has made us be a bit more creative in how we approach mm-hmm. things.
And obviously gives you some fodder for the next time something comes along.
Absolutely.
And hopefully not as bad as what this has been.
Yeah.
But at least to be able to be flexible and to learn from things and to move on. So what about, you said you were right up to, off book in the initial rehearsals. And then it came about. So how long from that point till getting back to rehearsing did it take?
Oh, sure. From that point, we took a break for a couple months because we needed to keep rolling right ahead. Once I recovered from COVID, I had to dump right into rehearsals for auditions and rehearsals for our winter show.
Okay.
So I actually did a holiday radio play in the meantime here. And kept engaging with the Taming cast and letting them know that, you're not being forgotten about. I had them make character-specific playlists on Spotify just to keep them in the mindset.
Right.
And completely independent of me, they met a couple times through that interim for coffee dates to go over their scripts and stay
good
on book. So all credit to them for never considering themselves out of production.
Mm-hmm.
They kept it up. And so coming back this time, we actually started our first rehearsal, picked right up where we left off with off book day on January 4th. And they've been gangbusters on it.
Were you surprised at how well they had done getting back?
Yes, I shouldn't have been because they're all top notch and utter professionals about it, but still 3 months away from it is a little bit nervy. So,
well, not only that, but a small cast, that's a lot of lines.
It is.
You're gonna have.
It is. And they all, it's written in such a way that everybody shares an equal part of it. But, I knew that we'd be good. I knew that we'd be in great shape, but I was blown away by just how on top of it they were.
Right.
And
who is the cast?
The cast is Emily Dykstra, mm-hmm. plays Patricia, the Republican GOP staffer. Kelsey Letty plays Bianca, who is the liberal blogger trying to take down a senator. And Autumn Danielson plays Catherine, the Georgia beauty queen, who's forcing them to work together.
Well, look forward to this production. Sounds like it's just going to be a great time because, a political satire in itself, anyway, usually is a pretty good hit for a stage play. But especially in the times that we've been in recently, probably even more so.
Yeah, it's been strangely topical.
Yeah. So how long have you been artistic director here?
I have been the managing artistic director for a little over a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I've been board president for 4 years before that. And so I'm starting to feel a lot like this place is my second home.
Right.
So it's been a while. It's been probably the longest I've ever stayed with a theater outside of college, where it took me 5 years to get a theater major. But
and where was that from?
That was Concordia St. Paul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see, Concordia St. Paul. No, that's a different Concordia. That's the Cobbers, isn't it?
A different one, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I always get them mixed up. There's so many Concordias and so forth.
There are.
Nebraska even, and yeah, all over the place. What got you interested in theater?
I don't know. I took to it on a whim way back when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I was a super quiet kid, didn't really have a lot of friends, wasn't terribly outspoken or gregarious. And I remembered having accidentally stumbled once into a middle school production where my job was backstage crew and putting a whole Ziploc bag of flour on a dusty book to be blown off in the whiz was my one thing that I did. And so I, you know, remembered that a little bit when, you know, my sophomore year of high school came out and I was looking for something to do. And I auditioned for a show and just sort of blossomed as a person from there, kind of sort of found an ability to relate to people and talk to people. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of never stopped doing that.
So what kind of productions were you in college? And was it on the acting part or stage management? What?
I did a little bit of acting. That was never my strong suit until a little bit later. It's sort of a skill that developed over in time. But really, I went in for sound design and stage management and accidentally found my way into directing once I was involved in a car accident my sophomore year in college. So I realized I couldn't reliably build things and use my body on a day-to-day basis forever. So right. Then I started getting a little bit more in my head and went towards directing and stuff like that. And so I've sort of rediscovered acting on the back end of things. But really stage management, running boards, I've been doing that since I was 17 for a professional theater company in Minneapolis for a while. I've just sort of been all over the place with everything. And I like being a part of shows, and I'm fortunate to be able to be in a place where I get to helm a lot of them. And then I can also, you know, go freelance someplace else, mm-hmm. audition or run a board like I have for Old Town once, or, you know, just branch out and help people do stuff. I love creating and love helping other people create as well. So
sounds like a jack of all trades for you in this, because it's, you know, small theater, mm-hmm. you do have to do a lot, you know,
yeah.
even if you're the one on stage, you still have some other things you're going to be helping out with and so forth. And in fact, you know, while the podcast does come out on a Thursday and we're talking about Thursday weekend eve and everything, we're recording this on a Sunday. You have a rehearsal coming up mm-hmm. this afternoon.
Yep.
And you're here hanging lights again.
I am. Yep. Yep. I can't say no to work, apparently.
You know, growing up as a kid of Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And obviously, knowing the Mighty Carson Arts Players, mm-hmm. when I first heard of the Mighty Carson Arts Players years ago, I was like, oh, I love it that somebody took off on that. What's it meant to this place to be the Mighty Carson Arts Players and the following that you have and so forth?
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good question. Actually, that's, you know, everything, even to the initial naming of this place, has served as a way for us to reinforce the ties to our community here. I've always said the first word in community theater is community, and mm-hmm. that's honestly what we strive for, making a welcoming spot that people can come together to do art. And I say that in that order because that's what's important. So way back when the Mighty Carson Art Players were founded, we actually have a little plaque about it in the wall in the lobby detailing the story of how it came about. There was actually a submission process where the founding board members at the time opened up to suggestions. What do we call ourselves? And they ran a little contest, and whoever they picked ended up getting
like season tickets or something,
free yeah. season tickets yeah. to the first show or the first season of shows. And they went with the Mighty Carson Art Players yeah. because it was such a neat little,
moniker.
Yeah. A neat little twist on that. And you know, we've been that for 38 years now, which is crazy, and I love it. And there's that sense of having it built in there, a sense that, you know, we pride ourselves on what we do and the community that we build, but there's also in the turn of phrase that is our name, the reminder to not take ourselves too seriously,
right.
You know, and to keep it light and to keep it fun and to keep it focused on what matters. And that's the people coming through our doors and the people coming to Corson to support this crazy thing that we've been doing for so very long.
Well, obviously it's worked, you know, 38 years.
Yeah.
That's always a great thing. You know, it seems like there's a lot of community theaters that have about that same time frame of history as well, because I remember growing up in Rock Rapids when it became the River Valley Players, and so forth. And, you know, again, I believe there was a contest for the naming and so forth. But it seems like that would have been about the same time. They may be a little bit longer than that down there. But community, like you said, you know, community is such a part of small theaters. And I'm just curious, have you ever looked around and done any, you know, population things and said, you know, is this the smallest in terms of a town size for a community theater?
I haven't. I probably should. I mean,
that would be interesting to know.
Yeah, you pass the roadside on the way in, and Corson has a population of 76, and I think that might have gone like down 2 and up 3 in the recent year or something. But it's pretty crazy. I mean, there's the temptation, just because Brandon is right across the highway, for us to, you know, consider ourselves a Brandon theater. Mm-hmm. And we're that too, you know, we're that too. And we're also a greater Sioux Falls theater as well. And so all of that's important, but also understanding, you know, where we are and the relationship we have with the Brandon Township and the businesses here in Corson. For instance, we just figured out last week an arrangement with the bar next door about how they can sell tickets
for us
at the bar, which is great. And they're totally gung-ho about that. Even offering incentive for a free drink if they buy one of our tickets from them. And we've had their Corson Pink Ladies Dart League coming over here for shows in its entirety. That, you know, while we're so many things, the greater Sioux Falls area, a theater in that area, and also a Brandon community theater, we are also a Corson theater as well. And however small that is, or how small that stays, this tiny unincorporated town, it's also, you know, where we started. And it's a really fun and interesting legacy to hang on to.
I'm guessing along with that comes a very loyal group of locals too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I cannot tell you how passionately they've supported us through so many things, even in the past couple of years where we've updated our processes for box office and realigning how our season goes, because it used to be on calendar year and we've changed it to a more traditional, academic type year, that falls in line with how theater is normally consumed. All those changes, there were, you know, headaches and questions, and they've been unfailingly great. And you think about why that is. They've been so supportive forever. I'm told stories from way back before I was here, before this lobby was even here, with the bathrooms, that the only way that that audiences could go and use the bathroom up until like 2012, maybe, before this edition, was to actually go downstairs and walk past the actors and use the ones that are right underneath the stage. And they've been so supportive through all of that. So I cannot thank our community enough.
That's excellent. Tell us about the building itself.
Sure. We actually did some research on that in the past year. So the building itself is over 100 years old. It started out as a creamery and mechanical parts store that was later given to the township right around the turn of the century, 1900s, which is crazy. And there was already a theater group here in the 1920s who was taking shows to competitions, the Corson Dramatic Club. I think we have something about them in our lobby as well. And so they had a good run of probably, 5 to 10 years here, all the way back in the 1920s, almost 100 years ago, now theater was being performed in this building.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then after that, there was another group, the Pepperites, that came in here, and they ran a community theater until the outbreak of World War II. And in World War II, this place turned into a community center where they made use of the stage to have bands in here, and they converted part of the old downstairs into a kitchen, so that way people could come and have like a community dinner and dance to keep spirits up for that, for, you know, through through, you know, the wartime and into the 50s and 60s. And then it sort of simmered and became a little cultural landmark, but one that wasn't being used until the Mighty Corson Art Players came around in 1982 and asked the township for permission to start reinventing the theatrical traditions that were here. And we've been doing it ever since. So it's crazy to think about.
Great history, too.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. What do we have the rest of the season after this with the team?
Sure. After this season, we have Charlie Cox Runs with Scissors, which is going to be our spring show. It's about a guy diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease who has a midlife crisis and runs off to the desert to die, essentially, as Wally Death and Kiki, the avatar of love, sort of in an absurdist way compete over his soul as he falls in love with the person running the motel that he's staying at. So it's a fantastic story. I can't wait to get it up.
All right. What about the future for the Mighty Corson Arts Players?
Sure. We have a kids camp coming up in June. I'm hoping to actually expand that out a little bit bigger than we have in years past, and get sort of like an older kids portion going as well, because that middle school area is not often touched here in the Brandon area in terms of arts events over the summer for kids. And then we are currently in the process of deciding our next season entirely. So that's something that once Charlie Cox opens, we typically have it ready to go and to announce then. So I'm really excited for that because we have a great pool that we're choosing from.
What have you learned being involved in this particular Mighty Corson Arts Players versus anything you've done previously?
Oh, sure. I've learned, gosh, so much. First and foremost, attention to detail. I mean, look where we're sitting right now.
Right.
There's the old theater adage where if you can't see it from 30 feet away while riding a horse, it doesn't matter. But like the seats are right up there, inches away. So close that, you know, we have people who sit in our front row who put their water bottle right on the edge of the stage because it's right there. And so detail matters and paying attention to them is so important, so much more important than any other space that I've worked in. Also, I've had to learn a lot about trusting our community and our supporters and our actors and everybody who comes into the show. Just because I have historically had to take a lot on myself. And so delegation was never something that I was good at. But this community and their support has been so great that I've had to, and I've gotten to be able to learn to let go a little bit and enjoy the process and be able to trust in other people to actualize the community aspect of it. And I'm constantly learning to appreciate the support that we get.
Excellent. You know, there's two questions I always like to ask at the end of each person that's on the show. Quite often, the two questions actually end up just being one answer. And also, I'm surprised I still ask it, because every time I tend to ask this of performers or creators, you're usually so dang busy you don't have time for other things. So when you're not part of this, what do you like in entertainment?
Oh, in entertainment, when I'm not a part of this, I like getting together with friends and playing a little bit of D&D, which is which is entertainment. It's
right.
I mean, it's closely related to this because it's collaborative storytelling. but you know, the audience are the actors at the same time. But you know, music, super big into music.
Favorite group.
Weezer, you were listening to them as they came in. I try to see them once a tour, at least. So, so music and, museums. Whenever I get to Minneapolis, the Minneapolis Institute of Art is so great. I love it there, and I could just spend days there.
The other part then, any other hobbies?
Any other hobbies? Not so much anymore.
Since it's a second home.
Right? Second home, and I have a 10-week-old now. So
oh wow! Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. So, I have no more hobbies. At least for a little while.
Well, we're glad that this is a good thing for you, though.
Yeah.
At the Mighty Course and Arts Players. Brian Schiffer, thanks for being on the show today. Certainly appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XL Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation. 605-332-9235 or xlkairos.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XL Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
A Sioux Falls Stage Awards special distinction for promoting the arts. Here is Dave Holly.
Welcome back, everybody. It is a fun time on the Dave Holly Hour today, that is for sure, as we started off with the Course and Mighty Arts Players. This is the small theater, but big on talent and big on fun and big on everything about theater, because these small towns really put together some amazing productions in small spaces. And now to join us from Old Town Dinner Theater in Worthing, John Bowe, Artistic Director. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Dave?
Doing well, thank you. Always a pleasure to see you. We've talked about this in the past, that we've acted together a few times and had some good laughs that way.
Yep.
But you are just embedded in theater.
Yes. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Excellent. That's good to hear, because we love to talk about not just the fact that we have such creative talents in this area, in the Sioux Empire, but also, you know, those that just have such a passion for it as well. And I recall that yours started quite early in life, as so many do.
Yep.
Yeah. But you've been at Old Town for a few years now, and things just seem to keep going smoothly until, last year we had this little thing called COVID that came up. So
yeah.
Before we talk about current production and upcoming, how did you have to address everything at Old Town?
Well, the first thing that happened, the day we were supposed to start rehearsals for our spring show, we closed the theater and pushed the show back a month. And as we were closing in on a month, things weren't getting better, so we pushed it back another month.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up having to push it back three times total until the show that was supposed to be over May was over the month of August.
Right.
We had to replace a few cast members who, you know, their schedules just didn't line up, having to continue to shift it. But we ended up dropping to half capacity. We put up plexiglass in some key areas where we couldn't socially distance the tables. So that way, if you're close to a table, there was plexiglass between you. And then I put plexiglass out in the lobby. We require masks in all the common areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you're eating, of course, you can take it off.
Right.
But yeah, the bar, lobby, bathroom, all that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, very strict cleaning, especially in the beginning when we didn't know as much about the virus as we did. Like, we were disinfecting walls and like, everything every night, like, every square inch of the theater every night. And, I mean, we still disinfect the tables and chairs and all that. But we've been able to cut back on, like I said, the wall doesn't necessarily need to be disinfected every day. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and you know, you have so many volunteers that to help out with this. You know, that's yeoman's duty this time around, wasn't it?
Yeah,
never ending with that, because, you know, hey, you know, show's over, we got to watch it, and so forth, and maybe we're bussing tables, what have you, and then all of a sudden, show's over. Normal cleanup. Oh, extreme cleanup now.
Well, and we've like our volunteers who are the servers at the shows, we try not to put extra on them necessarily. We've got a few people along with Casey and myself and Elizabeth who all work there, who take care of like the disinfecting type cleaning, because that's one thing, we love our volunteers and we never want to make it, you know, too much. So
yeah, that's great. And of course, you know, that is one of the great things about community theaters, is it takes the volunteers, and they're as invested in those shows as anybody else.
Well, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean there are people who they for sure serve at least once every show, and then they're on a list that if someone cancels, if we're short, mm-hmm. give them a call. You know, either they live close, or, you know, are often free, where they just, you know, they'll end up, you know, serving every weekend, because, you know, because things come up for people, and like you said,
right,
cancellations and stuff like that.
You know, the thing that you brought up just a bit ago, though, that I hadn't heard mentioned yet, no, there's been a lot of places where they've done double casts. You know, so one cast has one weekend, another cast has another weekend. But getting back to having a show that you had already cast and had ready, that had to throw an extra wrench in too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it was something where I was already about halfway done building the set, because I wanted to hit it hard that first week before we started rehearsals. And then we were just kind of at a standstill, and like, knowing where I was at, I'm like, well, the next show we do needs to be this show, because I'm not going to take down this set and build a whole new set. But yeah, especially the musical comedy Murders of 1940, it's one of the bigger shows we do. We tend mm-hmm. to not have big cast, but that has 10 people in it. And so when we were first going to go into rehearsals after the, you know, the pandemic started, we're like, there's a restriction on only having 10 people in a gathering.
Right.
And we've got 10 people plus me, plus my stage manager, plus my assistant director.
So were you picking out the different scenes and so forth and saying, okay, if you're in, you know, act one, scene two, come tonight, or?
Well, I set up a rotation.
Okay.
For people to be, well, my stage manager was just going to Skype in every night. And then I set up a rotation where, a couple people would be there via Skype to read their part and see mm-hmm. what's going on, and then while everyone else is there in their part. And right before we're gonna start rehearsing for that, we got pushed back again. And so by the time we started rehearsing, we didn't have those restrictions, but I had three different very complicated rehearsal schedules that I had put together and then had to throw away because we were moving on to something else. But yeah, in the end, everyone was masked during rehearsal. You know, told them, when you're not on stage, stay, you know, mm-hmm. stay away from each other, and it seemed to work out pretty well.
Good. So then this season,
You are now into it, and you've got a show that you're in the midst of right now, and then you're going to be starting rehearsals, or auditions, I should say, for the next show. But let's first talk about, let's see, Miracle on South Division, correct?
Yes.
All right. Tell us about this show and who all is involved.
Well, it's a show about a Polish Catholic family in upstate New York who, I mean, they're very, very Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
Their grandfather years ago had this vision of the Virgin Mary appear to him in his barber shop. So he built a shrine to her. And over the years, people have been coming to pray to it and donate money and, you know, ask for miracles. And when the show starts, one of his granddaughters has been writing a book about it and has unearthed some new things that the family didn't know about, some big things. So it's a fun show filled with family drama and then some nice twists to make it interesting.
Oh, we always like nice twists. Who's the cast?
We got Megan Holzmer. Mm-hmm. She's done a few shows at Old Town before. John Hardcastle, he's definitely a veteran down there. Cecily Fogarty. This is her second show with us, but I know she's done some work in the area.
Yeah. And in fact, I was briefly with her in some improv scenes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So great gal. And so look forward to seeing her in that.
Oh yeah. And she's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
When we're working on her character throughout, she was fairly reserved, more natural.
Mm-hmm.
And once we pulled that kind of over the top, character out, man, it's been funny.
Excellent.
Then Rose Reed is the final cast member.
Okay.
And again, she's done shows at Old Town. I know she's done shows in Corson. And
okay, so we've got to this weekend yet, and then the following weekend, is that correct?
For shows? And then one more after that.
One more after that.
We close on the 31st.
All right, yeah. And the dates that we do, and we've got dinner theater involved, except on Sundays, correct?
The final Sunday is a dessert matinee, but
the final one. The others are a regular menu.
Yep.
Oh, excellent! Well, tell us about it. What all do we have?
All right. Well, first off, we go Thursday through Sunday the next three weekends,
mm-hmm.
and the food, which is amazing. That's a big perk that they feed me every night. but there's a sirloin with a horseradish sauce, pork with a raspberry sauce, or a breaded tilapia. And it's kind of got a southwestern feel to it.
Okay.
I know they use some like tortilla chips with lime and stuff like that to bread it in, so it's got a little bit of a kick. And and then a squash risotto and peas and onions with bacon, kind of a little medley, and then red velvet cheesecake for dessert.
Mm. Yeah, I know it. In the times I've been down there, it's always been delicious. That's for sure. So what are our costs and how do people get tickets?
It's $45 a ticket, or mm-hmm. for the dessert matinee, it's $20.
Okay.
And the the dessert matinee is just the cheesecake. But,
right.
But yeah, that's still definitely worth it.
No doubt about that, you know, considering the great show you're going to get along with it
yeah.
and so forth. So as you've moved forward then, what did you learn last year once you finally got some things in place with COVID, and how much has translated over now to the current shows and the upcoming shows?
Well, it's made it a lot easier now that people are more used to wearing the masks.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, when we first started with Musical Comedy Murders, I got some complaints.
I can imagine. A little
kickback,
yeah. And,
you know, we kind of had to have a talk like this. It's, you know, it's for safety. So
right.
But yeah, haven't had any complaints. People wear their mask. Like I rarely saw their actual faces. Like they'd walk into the theater wearing one
right.
mask, and then they'd either put on a face shield or keep their mask on for the mm-hmm. rehearsal. And just that made it more like regular rehearsal, where we didn't really even have to address it, other than like when we first started. You know, there's, you know, a few times where they hug or hold hands where we're not gonna do that right away.
Yeah, let's
wait till we've been in our kind of social group together for a while before we do that.
Well, and you know, one of the things that's so great about community theater is typically afterward you have a chance to go talk to the cast and so forth, or, you know, tell them great job, things along that line. I'm guessing that's changed a little.
Yep. They don't come out to greet the audience after the show.
Yeah.
what some of them have done, you know, when they've got family or friends coming,
right,
tell them to just wait in the lobby, and then once they're completely changed and everything and masked up, then they'll come out.
Okay.
So then they'll see people who wait to talk to them rather than everyone who is at the show.
Excellent. Good. In the meantime, auditions are starting for Exit Laughing.
Yep.
Oh, I'm intrigued by this one. So give us the synopsis, first of all.
Well, briefly, it's about this group of friends who play bridge every week. Well, one of them's passed away, and it's bridge night, and so the three of them are getting together, and one of them decides to steal the ashes from the mortuary of their other friend, and that's the show kind of devolves from there.
Devolves,
yes.
I like that word. Yeah, I'm interested in that because my mother was at a bridge club. And a Wednesday night meant that Dad and I got to have popcorn. So I always, you know, fond memories of things like that. But I always, anytime that there's a word such as laughing in a title, the interest is sparked. What are you looking for cast members for that?
Three older women. And that's actually one thing that we've had to fudge this year a little bit, I think, because, you know, older people are in that higher risk group.
Right.
We just haven't had as many come out. We've had to, you know, I think the last...
Makeup? Makeup,
yep,
department?
The last, in quotes, old lady we had was played by a 32-year-old, 33-year-old.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, you watch Hollywood stuff, and they've got 40-year-olds playing 17. So
yeah.
Just making up the difference.
Yep. Well, then we've got a 120... It says in the script, it says 21, but, you know, 20 something female, and then one 20 something male as well.
All right. So obviously, were those already chosen, though, before COVID came around, or was that okay?
Yep.
All right. Because I was wondering, you know, did you have to choose different plays and musicals based on cast size?
Yeah, we haven't had to change yet. I mean, I don't foresee us changing, because
okay,
even like our spring show this year is Godspell, but that is a very flexible cast, so
mm-hmm.
I mean, we could do it with as little as 8 or, you know, as many as 17, which we won't have 17. Our stage isn't that big.
Yeah,
but, you know, so we could do that with a smaller cast if need be.
Yeah. What do you enjoy about working in a small theater like that?
I really enjoy the environment. When I first saw a show down there, I can't even remember the year, it was Monkey Business 2. And I just remember walking in and really loving the intimate space. The stage, it's not tiny, but it's not too big. Like, it's a nice size. Like, my one complaint about the stage is I wish I had some wing space and maybe a fly system, but
mm-hmm.
the size itself I like. There was something about the environment right away, and then the people when I got there, just it felt very much like a family, and I like that.
Excellent. Yeah, and I know that, you know, one of the things that we hear so often when it comes to small group theater, whether it be, you know, the outlying areas such as Worthing or Corson, Rock Rapids, you know, any place along that line, is, you know, that there's such cooperation. You know, Laverne has had people from Rock Rapids has had people from Laverne, vice versa, and it's all this big sharing community. But it's also that just intimacy versus a bigger theater, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I love going to a big theater to see a show, but you definitely feel like this is us, and then there's the show.
Right.
Out at Old Town, I mean, you can, especially if you're sitting up front, you can see the sweat dripping down their faces. You can occasionally see an actor accidentally make eye contact with you, or. So, I mean, you definitely, you feel like it's around you and not just in front of you.
Yeah, in fact, Brian Shipper from Corson was just saying that the front row people, with the extension of the stage they made, will actually put their water bottles on the front of the stage.
Oh, yeah, we get that as well. We've had people put their cowboy hat up there, and the show's starting, and there's just a cowboy hat sitting on stage during the show, because that's, you know, that's where they set it.
What do the actors love about it?
It's the idea that you can kind of pick out areas of laughter or groups of laughter or response from, not just laughter, I guess, but, you know, it's, again, it's from similar as from the audience side, is they feel that they're a part of it as well. It's not just something going on for them.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that they can play a little bit too. I know that, you know, one of the famous things about small towns and so forth and their community theaters is, you know, changing names out of the script to make it a local or things along that line. Are they having fun with that as well?
A little bit. It's almost more of a trying to mold the joke to make it work, where they'll, you know,
right,
because we have, you know, 18 performances per show, you go out there, I'm like, that didn't land tonight, so I'm gonna tweak this at my delivery or this word here, so it's mm-hmm. See what happens tomorrow night. Or, you know, once you finally get that, I'm gonna lock that in, that's gonna be exactly how I do it every night. So and I guess we do occasionally throw people's names in. I guess in the current show, it wasn't a name so much as my Uncle Jeff. He, like when something's exciting or something, you know, happens that's good, he'll say, "Bingo, boxcars, Little Joe's." And, you know, I've never heard anyone else say that.
I can say with all the things I've heard, I haven't either.
Well, there's this one moment in the show where a guy, the line is just, "Yes," and just, like, wasn't playing. It didn't, I mean, not even as a joke, but just didn't sound mm-hmm. natural, like something he would say. And I'm like, try saying this. And it was great. Now, on the one hand, no one's really laughing at it other than when my parents were there. But I think it just plays into his character better than just
right.
The yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's amazing what can come out. But, you know, the other thing about that is, as you were talking about, you know, maybe something didn't hit, is that, you know, the next night it might. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a great thing about live performance is, you know, and we talk about this with the local comedians so often, is a joke one night that you're thinking about taking out, the next night, uproarious laughter.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the tough thing, too. We've had a number of shows where, like, there's little chuckles throughout the show, and then, you know, the cast at intermission is like, oh, this audience is just so dead, and then after the show, they come out, huge smiles. Oh, we loved it. Absolutely. Where it's, you know, you have to remind them, you can't judge the audience by
true.
How much you hear. Like,
yeah.
They could be, well, and like myself, I am a silent laugher.
Okay.
So when I'm laughing my hardest, it's just kind of a, you just hear this like weird heavy breathing. So, I always try to remind them, you know, it's, you don't know how they feel about it yet. Just because they're not, I don't know. Do you know Aaron Sharp at all?
Yes.
He's got a great laugh. Like, he was there this last weekend, and I was sitting way at the front of the lobby, and I heard him laugh every time he laughed. We're not so lucky to have someone like that in the audience
every
night.
Every time, right, yeah. What do you enjoy about directing?
I've really enjoyed working with someone to build their character. Because especially when you get someone who's a little more inexperienced and is trying things, but not within a scope of a character, just trying them to try it, and then it's the conversation, and then mm-hmm. seeing how they apply it. And I mean, it's almost, there's a pride that comes along with it, where
right.
you know, working together with them to build their character to something that's just rock solid just makes me really happy.
In rehearsals, then, do you have a lot of time where you're just one-on-one, or is it somebody may have said a line and you take the time right there to address that? Or do you have, you know, are the notes that you give during rehearsal to everybody in the cast and then later on have a time to sit down with the individual characters? How do you go about it?
Well, for every show we start out, I'm stopping and starting throughout, mm-hmm. either working a moment or, you know, a whole section or with some character stuff. Then we hit a point in rehearsals where I want them to get in the flow of the show, so then I just take notes and I don't start and stop them. But I've had a number of actors who either after rehearsal one night, they'll hang back and we'll have a discussion, or you know, one day or night outside of rehearsal, I'll get a call, or we'll start texting and eventually call and
mm-hmm.
you know, have a deeper conversation. But for the most part, a lot happens in those first couple weeks of rehearsal when I can really stop and start. And then my favorite part of the note process is when I actually do get to start taking notes, because I find I've got like something will happen in a moment where, and I'll go, oh, should I, is that big enough that I should stop? And, it? And then all of a sudden we're a page later, I'm like, all right, I'll, next time through, you know, write it down,
right.
We'll address it. Yeah. When I'm taking notes, I can have that whole fight with myself in my head and then take the note and then we're good.
Yeah. Give us a rehearsal type, you know, a typical show for you at Old Town as to how many weeks you're rehearsing, when do you go off book, when do you get to dress and so forth?
We have a 6.5 week rehearsal process. We go Sunday through Thursday. And the first, I would say, 2 weeks will be stopping and starting.
Mm-hmm.
By about week three, we're off book. And then the last, you know, the next 2 weeks will be just running the show, trying to get a flow to it. And like I said, those first 2 weeks, we'll just alternate acts night to night.
Right.
So we can really work them. And then, yeah, then we'll just run the show straight through for about three more weeks. And that Sunday before we open, that'll be tech and dress,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll be dress rehearsals for the remainder of that week.
Up until showtime, fantastic. Do you ever get a chance to be on stage yourself anymore?
Or occasionally, too busy? Occasionally. Okay. Let's see, what was the last one? What was the last one? Wife Begins at 40.
Okay.
It's a Ray Cooney show, and I love Ray Cooney. I've been in the show Out of Order twice because I love it so much, and Funny Money. But this Wife Begins at 40, I was directing it, and I was on the fence about it. And then by the end of auditions and just hearing the scenes, and I was like, I really want to do this show. So I cast myself.
Okay.
And yeah, that the last time I directed a show that I was cast myself in a show was in college, and that was difficult. So for a long time, like, I'm not doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
And then with this one, it still proved to be fairly difficult. I had the child in the show, or not child, 17-year-old. I was in the smallest part, so I could still direct most of the show just fine. But about every night, I'm trying to get into this flow of the show, and I'm down there taking notes and waiting, and then the show stops, and they're like, John, that's your entrance.
You.
Oh, no. And so yeah, it was hard to make that jump back and forth within rehearsal, but in the end, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and how does the rest of the cast take it when you do that?
Pretty well, it seems, other than when I miss my entrance at rehearsal.
Yeah, but, and are you harder on yourself than you are on the rest of the cast?
Oh, definitely. Because because when I'm on stage, I'm recording myself with the video camera.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm very specific, like why are you slouching there? You know, like these very, very nitpicky notes from day one where it's like, okay, I need to make sure shoulders are back a little bit, not too much, like just very nitpicky stuff. But I mean, that back in college, that was one thing we'd do to get better, is to record yourself and take notes. And it's kind of painful still watching myself do anything, but it's way more helpful than having anyone else watch, because like I said, I will be my most harsh critic.
Yeah, we tend to always be that on ourselves, don't we? No doubt about it. Well, John, I think you're great. You know, from acting with you, from seeing the shows you direct, and everything down at Old Town that goes so well, it's fantastic, and so glad that you are part of the arts and entertainment community here in the Greater Sioux Empire.
Thank you. I'm really glad too. There's my life took a certain direction to bring me back here, but yeah, I had moved out to California and had planned on being there for the rest of my life, and yeah, like I said, I just took that turn to come back here, and I feel so blessed I did. I mean, my wife, my kids, I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. The fact that I get to work in theater every day is something, you know, that I spent all my extra time doing when I was younger, now it's has become what I required to do to get paid, and it's a dream come true.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us again here on the Dave Holly Hour.
Oh, anytime, Dave. I love talking with you.
Fantastic, as do I. And we'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to our great guest today, John Bow from Old Town Dinner Theater in Worthing. Looking forward to that show. I think my wife and I are going to go on its last performance, which is that dessert one. So it'll be good cheesecake, that's for sure. And a great play, too. Some great actors that are involved in that. In the meantime, the Sunday before, we're going to be headed over to Corson to see The Taming. So we got lots of stuff on the plate. Again, for what's going on that you can catch me at besides listening to this show, hosting trivia Friday night at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota. Always a good time. It's an 80s theme this time around. Besides thanking our guests, thank you to Woodgrain, where the John Bow conversation took place. There's a lobby out area out there. Besides Woodgrain, also want to shout out to Agua Fresh. Thomas and the people down there will take care of you. Thomas is going to be starting his own podcast here with some previously owned equipment by moi. Yeah, and Thomas is just super, not to mention it's a fun little place down there at 9th and Phillips. They make the best muffins. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's not good for my carbohydrate-laden diabetes, but they taste dang good. I'll give you that as a recommendation. In the meantime, please continue to share and, like us in whatever on Facebook and on Instagram. Don't forget, there's a website that'll lead you to everything else as well, DavePollyHour.com. I'm Dave Holly. Remember, for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.